Welcome to Torti Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we will be studying Ezra Parakeh, Ezra Chapter 5. Chapter 4 of Ezra left us with the Jews at a most depressing point. A nation that came with such high hopes has now been dashed. The nation that thought they were going to build the Beit HaMikdash has now given up hope, and instead of realizing their dream, they've retreated into their own homes to deal with their enemies, to deal with the famine, and their own divisions. They no longer dream of building the Beit HaMikdash. They just hope to get through the next day. But a lot happens between Parak 4 and Parak 5 of Ezra. It is now 18 years later, and there has been a major shift, which is alluded to by chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Vitnabe Chagai Nevi'a Uzachariah Bar Ito Nevi'aya Al Yehudaya Di Biyehudu Birushalayim B'Shem Elohai Yisrael Aleihon. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied to the people, to the Jews of Judah in Yerushalayim, with the name of Hashem upon them, inspired by the God of Israel. Ba'adain kamu Zerubbabel bar Shaltiel v'Yoshua bar Yotzadak v'Sarav v'lin menabei beit alaka di Yerushalayim. Thereupon Zerubbabel the son of Shaltiel and Yoshua the son of Yotzadak began rebuilding the house of Hashem in Yerushalayim, v'imahon nevi'aya di eloka misa'adein lahon, and with them are the prophets of Hashem who are their help. So there has been a major shift, and the background to this amazing two psukim can be found in Haggai Perek Aleph, Haggai chapter 1, in which Haggai completely changes the mindset of the people and helps them to see that the famine that was so hurting them, the famine that was causing them to suffer, was actually a communication from God to encourage them to build the Beit HaMikdash. Haggai instructs them to give up on using cedar cheese and instead to use the wood that they have, the cheaper wood, instead of the more expensive, that they can't afford. He helps them see that Hashem does not need a Beit HaMikdash that is grand, or even one that has an aron. Rather, Hashem needs a Beit HaMikdash that the people are able to build. Zechariah too is a help to the people, allowing them to see the potential of their generation and to trust in Hashem's protection. There's also been a political shift. Now we are in the year 520 BCE and the second year of Darius's reign. And finally, the people are ready to throw themselves back into the task of building the Beit HaMikdash. Now, instead of checking with the new Persian government, Haggai encourages the people to just begin building and trust in Hashem that everything will work out. As we expected, the surrounding nations, used to the Jews being quiet and pushed down, did not take kindly to this new set of circumstances. A new group of Tzarei Yudah, of enemies, who live across the Jordan River and are led by someone named Tatnai, their governor, accost the Jews as they begin to work. "Who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish this structure?" they ask in verse 3. "And what are the names of the men that build this building?" they ask in verse 4. I'm reading in English as the psukim are written in Aramaic. The Jews this time are not intimidated and continue building. So the group brings their complaint to the new monarch, Darius, who was just taken over 2 years earlier. As of now, we don't know what his policy will be towards the Beit HaMikdash. Again, we have another letter of a group of neighbors that are making a case to a Persian ruler against the Beit HaMikdash. They note in their letter that they had asked the Jews what they were doing and who gave them permission. They then quote the response of the Judean community, who tell them of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and how Cyrus, the king of Persia, not only allowed them to return to their homeland, but even gave them vessels from the first Beit HaMikdash to take with them. This group now has a request in verse 17. Uka'an hein al malka tav yitbaker bebeit kinzaya di malka tama di bibabel hein ati di min koresh malkaya sim ta'em lunabne beit alaka dach b'Yerushalayim. Vura'ut malka al dina yishlach elyana. They make a very reasonable request. If it's good on the king, perhaps you can search your treasure house, which is in the city of Babel, and see if it's true. Is it true that a decree was made by Cyrus the king to build this house? And then, if so, please let us know. If what is your decree in this matter? Thus concludes the letter of Tatnai and his crew as they await Darius's reply. In terms of the history of the letter, it again fits with the Persian mold. We see the influence of the postal system, paper, and of Persian record keeping. The tone of this letter is definitely less antagonistic than the letter to Artaxasta in Parak 4. They do not say that the Jews are rebellious, nor that they will stop paying taxes. It's clear that they do not like the building project, otherwise they would just leave it alone and not write the letter, but it seems that the people are feeling out the new king and his policies. Maybe they don't want to come on too strong in case Darius sides against them. Notice also that neither the Jews nor the non-Jews mention that Cyrus actually withdrew his support for the Beit HaMikdash and perhaps even wrote a decree about it. There are two possibilities why this would not be mentioned. The Jews wouldn't mention it because it looks bad for them. Obviously, they don't want to say that Cyrus ended up withdrawing his support, and perhaps the non-Jews don't mention it because they don't know that it happened, as it was something that occurred many years earlier with a different group of people. There's a second possibility, though, why the fact that Cyrus withdrew his support is not mentioned by the non-Jews. And perhaps this is because Cyrus actually never withdrew his support. The Tzara Yehuda had sent lobbyists to Cyrus, and it says then that the building was stopped. But it's unclear what precipitated the end of the work. Was it Cyrus's decree? Did Cyrus actually come out and say that the Jews had to stop the work? Or were the Jews just too scared to take on the Tzara Yehuda, who were slandering them to the king, even though Cyrus never formally declared that they had to stop working? This would fit with the story because it was around the same time that the famine started. It's the same time that they had these divisions. Perhaps this was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and the Jews stopped on their own, having had one too many difficulties to overcome. If this is the case, if it's the latter, that Cyrus never formally withdrew his support, then this letter of Tatnai shows how far the Jewish community has come. Instead of giving up in the face of hardships, they bravely stand up to their accusers and continue building, even as they await Darius's reply. This bravery is reflected in what is perhaps the most important pasuk in this parak, pasuk 5. Right after Tatnai's group asks the Jews, "Who gave you permission and what are your names?" we get a short comment that is said from the perspective of the narrator, namely from Ezra's perspective. Again, we don't know Ezra yet as a character, but we are starting to get to know Ezra's guidance. And Ezra says, "V'ein elahaham havat al shavei Yehudaya, the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, v'lo batelu hamu et ta'amah, and they did not make them cease, l'daryavesh yahad, until the matter came to Darius, v'adayin yitivun nishtivana adana. And then the answer will be returned by letter concerning it." Ezra, the narrator's role in this book, is to be a religious and moral guide to the Jews, to teach them how to view the world around them. Just as Ezra pushed the Jews to see Cyrus's declaration as the hand of Hashem, so too here he encourages them to see Hashem's hand in their lives, not through outright miracles, but through everyday occurrences such as this one. That this group of non-Jews was not able to intimidate the Jews and make them stop. From Ezra's perspective, Hashem gave them special courage and protection, and this time, with Haggai and Zechariah's help, they were able to face down their aggressors and continue their mission in spite of the difficulties. Even before we read Darius's reply, we see that the community has finally begun to unify. And this is what Ezra wanted, because there aren't outright miracles anymore. And Ezra has to teach the new group of people a different way to communicate with Hashem and a different way to behave in the world. So when something like this happens, Ezra points them to see Hashem's hand in their lives. He actually says it explicitly. V'ein elaham havat al shavei Yehudaya. The eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews. It was Hashem who was involved, who gave them the strength and who gave them this special protection. To summarize, Perek He, chapter 5, begins on a high note, the rejuvenation of the Beit HaMikdash project, with the help of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. However, The real high point of the parak comes when, instead of crumpling in the face of adversity presented by a new group of Tzarei Yehuda, of enemies of Judea, the Jews hold firm in the face of their enemy. They trust that Haggai, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, and Yoshua are leading them in the proper direction, and they rededicate themselves towards building the Beit HaMikdash and rebuilding their community. Thank you for studying Ezra Parak 5 together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.